Laval, can you name that tune?
Babalu?
Yep. It is Babalu by Desi Arnaz. Yes, it is.
It's not.
Babalu.
Babalu.
Now, that's when music was music. These kids today with their White Snake and their Megadeth, they don't know what real music is. Go back to the Desi Arnaz days. You'll hear some real music.
I'm surrounded by guys like you.
What does that mean?
I am surrounded by guys like you.
What are guys like me?
Sean Maroney, our camera guy. A little bit of my producer, Tom Barnes.
Irreverent fellas?
No. Guys who are like stuck in an era.
Yes.
That is not even when we were born.
Right. Isn't that magical? Don't you find
that
magical?
And I feel bad because, you know, Toomey's my good friend. And Sean Maroney's a good friend. And you're my good friend.
Thank you.
And I have a blank stare.
Why?
When you start talking.
You should be impressed. If anything, you should be amazed and impressed and go...
At the useless information.
Well, we've discussed this on the show in the past. Not with you here because you're busy doing that TV stuff, whatever. I don't know. So I always say that like people of this generation aren't going back and learning what preceded them. There's so much stuff going on. Technology is such now that you have to work 24 hours a day to just keep in touch with what's going on currently, that there's no time anymore to find out what happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago. But when I was a kid, I went out of my way to know what came before me.
I don't know. I'm a child. I was born in 74, so I'm a child of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. And 70s. You were
easy,
a kid. You
easy
know,
there, killer.
You know, a little bit.
But I don't remember as much as I remember from the 80s, right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember. You have to have the curiosity.
Yes.
I didn't have it.
You didn't.
So my brother had it. Yeah. And, you know, he was interested in history and pop culture from before. I think it's depending on your kid. Now, my daughter, who's 10, is an old soul. She reads biographies from way
That's
back
impressive.
When.
That's impressive.
She's
isn't that
interested
great?
In history. And most of the time, I feel like an idiot because I say, wait for daddy to come home or call your Uncle Mario. Or I Google a lot of stuff. But even her teachers, who are millennials, she has young teachers, they're like, there's questions she asks about these biographies that I don't know what she's talking about.
Oh.
And she was talking to me about the Japanese camps they had here after Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And explaining them to me.
The internment camps.
Yes, the internment camps. And she's like, why would they do that to people? And I remember learning that, but I didn't go as in depth as Amelia wanted to go.
She
wanted to Google it and find out more. And why would humanity do that? Why would Americans do that to Americans?
Right, right. Kevin, who used to be our producer here on the show, we used to play a game with him called Blast from the Past, where we'd mention things that
and
happened before.
Clueless.
Yeah, he didn't know. You, like names, you go, well, everybody will know that guy. Everyone will know that lady.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just a slam on Kevin, because Kevin is a very bright guy. But it was my way of saying there's a whole generation of people who, if it happened prior to their being born, they're like, I don't need to know that. That was 20
years ago. But do you know the show
ago.
Blossom?
Yeah, of course. Mayim Blalock.
And who else?
Joey Lawrence.
Oh, my God. There's something wrong with you and Toomey.
Yeah.
There is, because you just know.
And I've never seen Blossom.
I know you haven't, but it's like an idiot savant is in your head.
Thank you.
For saying
savant.
Savant makes it fancy.
I'm shocked that you said the savant part.
Savant. S'il vous plaît.
Yes. I'm an idiot s'il vous plaît. That's what I am. Thank you. I will take that as a compliment.
I admire that because I wish I would have paid more attention.
Yeah. But I always, like, as a kid, whenever a name would come up that I didn't recognize, you know, somebody that was in the 60s or the 50s or the 40s, I'd go, well, I might need to know this at some point.
Some kids are still that way.
Yeah.
Don't cancel the entire generation.
No. But when you say your daughter reads these biographies and stuff, I hope that impresses you, because that's very impressive.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we had to tell her to move on because they were getting too easy for her, because there's a line of biographies for 8-9-year-olds.
Oh, is there?
What is, who was, what was.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, and they're great.
Give me a couple of the names. Like, who are some people that they thought a kid of 10 should know about this person?
She read Alexander Hamilton, Alexander Graham Bell.
Just people named Alexander?
She did Martin Luther King. Shut up. She did Susan B. Anthony.
Nice.
Justice Sotomayor.
Yeah.
So it runs the gamut. Like, she read George Washington, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs. So it runs the gamut.
Boy, that is a little bit of
everything. Sacagawea. I mean, seriously. And then she would read these things, and that would spark her curiosity to find out more about why things happen.
That's the way it's supposed
awesome.
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have two kids.
Yes.
Your other's not so much like that?
No. The other one is like, it's really odd. My son is a very smart kid when it comes to math.
Yeah.
And he's 4 and a half.
Yeah.
And he's fascinated by writing and spelling.
Oh, that's very good.
And he's the second one, so we pay no attention because we're busy with the 10-year-old.
Right. You should always spend the attention on the oldest, and the youngest is just kind of there for spare parts.
I love that boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that boy. And that boy loves his mommy. But there's days where he comes up with things, and we're like, oh, well, your sister wasn't doing that at Ford. Are we supposed to do this?
Really?
Yeah, he's in preschool, and his writing is really good.
Yeah.
And he like his game is to have us tell him how to spell words.
Yeah.
He does. I got to do my math also because his sister's in fourth grade and is doing all that.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
He's like, I got to do my math, like, and he will sit with whoever will sit with him, and he'll ask you, "What's 5 + 5?" What's blah blah, and then he commits them to memory.
Oh, that's very. You should be very proud of both of them.
Oh yeah,
very...
absolutely. And then they have great personalities. They're both very chatty. They won't shut up. I don't know who they take after.
That's strange.
Very personable.
Yeah.
I sound like I'm not supposed to brag that much about them because today he'll probably poop in his pants.
Oh.
And she'll probably come home angry. You know, because you talk very nicely about them and then they ruin it.
Sure.
Like I said, you were a prodigy.
That's what kids do.
And you don't.
They
you
burst
can't
your
even
bubble.
Wipe your butt.
Don't feel bad. Now, did you do the thing that most parents have also done where with the oldest, like you fill up photo albums and scrapbooks and things, and then with the youngest, you just say, yeah, we had you for a while, too.
We have 10,000 pictures of Amelia in our computer.
Yeah.
10,000.
And the younger one?
And
do you even remember the younger one's name?
Alex.
Yeah, very good.
Alexander.
Yeah. Oh, that's why all the Alex in the biographies. Now it makes sense. Like, there must be a reason.
It's a weird family. And if I say Alexander Hamilton, he answers, we are waiting in the wings.
Oh, nice.
It's like a whole improv group at home, except for Steve. He's behind the scenes.
He doesn't play along.
Husband.
No,
he's
that's fine.
Just now mute.
Yeah, that's all right. But not as much coverage with child number two as child number one.
No. No. We've taken a lot of pictures of him on our phones because now we have that. With Amelia, we didn't have our phones. We had to use regular cameras.
Of course.
I think the iPhone or the iPad had just launched.
Oh, the toll that must have taken on your fingers to just pick up a camera and snap a shot.
Oh.
Now, we did the same with our daughters. There's all kinds of pictures and documentation of the older one, and then the younger one is almost nothing.
Twins.
I know, that's what makes it awkward. Is we've tried to explain to her that we feel awful about this because you're a minute apart, but the oldest gets the most.
It's a minute too long.
Gets the most
attention. To remember you.
We honestly told her, and we did this, of course, as a joke.
But
we said in the minute that we had Kylie before you were born, we went to Disneyland. You know, we told her all these things that we did. She's like, you got all that done in a minute? Yeah, because we just, you know, it was our first child, so we wanted to live it up a little bit.
Imagine being the third one after twins.
Yeah, you get nothing if you're third. And I think parents know when you're going to be the middle kid. Like, I think moms and dads kind of have it in their head. They know what their goal is and how many kids they're going to have. So almost every middle child that I know, there's nothing. They get nothing. It's very, very hard to be a middle kid.
You have to remind them that they're there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, with my son, we have a lot of those pictures, but we don't have the same amount of albums.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, with our daughter, we have more books. We have a book a year until she was 4.
Yeah, and then it tailed off a little bit.
And then she had to remind us to make him a book for his first year, for his second year. And he's 4 and a half, and we haven't made one family album. Family, because at this point we should transition to all of us.
Yes, everybody.
And we've had great adventures.
Oh. You come from a family of 3 children?
No.
How many?
My brother and I.
Oh, just the two of you? Yeah.
And we're 6 years apart.
And in your husband's family, and the reason I ask this is this, I'm from a family of 2, but my wife's from a family of 6, and the dynamic is
so... My husband's an only child.
Oh, is he really?
That would throw him off completely. I mean, it was... The relationship with my brother and I was like, ooh, wow.
Yeah.
With my kids, he's like, why are they arguing? Do they not like each other? I'm like, no, this is what...
This is how it goes. Yes, you just received a piece of email. Yes, that's what that pleasant tone was.
I work every day with people talking to me in my ear, so I'm very alert. Squirrel! Yeah, he's an only child, so he gets like, why are these kids fighting? Why is there so much noise?
It's got to be very jarring to somebody who grew up without any competition or any brothers or sisters to see that. Just for me to watch what went on with my wife's family with 6 kids, it's all a mystery to me. Because in my head, like, two is the perfect number because ideally, I mean, I know that family dynamics are different everywhere, but traditionally there's two parents and then two kids and you go, well, nobody has an advantage right there. Nobody's outnumbered. There's somebody can always take care of somebody. But when there's that many.
So we threw a curveball at my husband and my niece, who is 15 and a half.
Yeah.
Has moved in with us.
Oh.
Has been living with
us
since October. She's probably going to stay here till the end of the school year because she lived in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
And her school wasn't fully operating, and her parents don't have power.
Yeah.
So they decided to send her over here, and of course we agreed
with
open arms, and she's living with us.
Yeah.
So we have an almost 16-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 4.5-year-old.
Wow.
And she's wonderful, but it is, and I told her, and she's an only child. So it has been very hard for her to adjust to two little kids in constant motion.
Without a doubt.
And overload, and she's not being the center of attention and having to divide all that. And for my husband now having three kids to mind.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's got to throw everybody off just enough, right?
And, you know, she was fed what she liked when she wanted it because life revolved around her.
So
here we're like, oh, boy, we got to feed these kids.
Yeah.
And my daughter will be like nuggets and vegetables, no problem. My son doesn't eat. I mean, he only eats like snacks.
That's it?
Yeah. And my niece is like, well, son, this food doesn't taste like much. And I was like, I'm going to slap you.
Oh.
And it's because all her needs were met immediately.
Of course.
And she's doing a great job adjusting because she's mature and we talked to her, but we have to have a come to Jesus with her.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
husband's Jewish, so shouldn't say come to Jesus.
And come to Mori Amsterdam.
to Bubby.
Right.
And we had to be like, if you want to stay here,
yes,
you're going to have to
be
a little more pleasant to your
cousins.
You have
to be bendable on the rules a little bit. Yeah.
But she's enjoying her independence. But a third kid, I'm like, how do people do it? There's always someone hanging. There's always someone that we have to mind.
I can't imagine. For so many reasons. You know, once there's two, like I said, you figure it out. You go, Mom will take care of you. I'll take care of you. Everything's fine. But once you get into the 3, 4, 5, 6 and beyond, when I was growing up, the family behind us had 9 boys. And
boys.
They all, yeah, 9
Were they
of them.
The Vigianos? Because David Vigiano is like 1 of 10 boys.
Isn't that a lot?
And I think
excessive.
His mom needs a statue. She's still alive.
His mom and dad, all the family behind us.
Not the Vigianos.
That
you
was
know
the
who
name
David
of...
Vigiano is? Reporter.
I know that name.
He used to be a reporter for Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Lifestyle reporter, and he's now in public relations.
Yeah, I do know who that is.
Yeah.
Mom and dad always looked like they could take a nap at any second. They always had that look, morning, noon, or night. Anytime you saw them, they always looked like, I really need to just lay down.
And that was just about survival.
Yeah.
It was not about extracurricular activities.
No.
It was not, you know, this one's ADD and needs this.
Right.
That one has an allergy. You know, all those things that now we're hyper-focused on that are important.
Yeah.
But 9 kids back then, it was like, you need to survive.
It's amazing, isn't it?
We don't have time to do all that.
There was a family near us. Nick was in my grade, the Parison family. And they would eat in shifts. There were 6 of them.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes we'd be playing and Nick would say, I got to go. And we'd go, why? And he'd go, because I've got early shift dinner. So the mom would make dinner. She'd make a 6 o'clock sitting and she'd do a 7:30 sitting. So depending on the day of the week, you either had the early sitting or the later sitting because there wasn't enough room at the table
for
all 8 of them, 6 kids and 2 parents. It was just impossible.
When I was growing up, one of my best friends, her name is Joanna, and Joanna was 1 of 5. She was the youngest of 5. There were 3 girls and 2 boys. And for me, the dynamics were unbelievable because they were their own friends.
Oh, yeah, right. You have a built-in
friend base.
They
were so close to each other that many times, that's all she needed.
Like,
they would include me, which is great.
Yeah.
But you realize there's so many. They have each other. They get along. And that was a great thing. And I saw it with, that happens with Paul Conrad, too. He's 1 of 7.
Yeah.
And then when it's a lot more kids, when there are more kids, and not all of them know each other very well. Like
because of the age difference?
10 and 9 don't know 1 and 2,
you know,
like 1 and 2 as well because they've left home for college and they were babies, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Whenever I would watch shows that had large families like either the Waltons or 8 is Enough, you know, the Bradfords on 8 is Enough, or even the Brady Bunch, there was part of me that went, that would be so cool because there's always somebody to either play with or talk to or do homework with or whatever. But then when I'd really think about it, I'd go, yeah, but then your parents' attention is split so much. that you
and you don't have your own room.
No, you'd never have. No, 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 no. The family I was telling you about with nine boys had the parents' bedroom, and then there were only three other bedrooms, and one was a converted bedroom.
Wow.
So no matter who you were, you had at least two and maybe three different.
I just read a book, and it's an old book. It's called Caramello. It's by, I think it's Sandra Cisneros. And it was about a family of 10, and no, it was seven, and she was the only girl.
Yeah.
And it was a Mexican, she was a Mexican American girl, so it was her experience living in Chicago and spending time in Mexico. It's a beautiful book.
Oh, that sounds good.
But when her parents could afford a house, they couldn't afford a house with seven rooms or
right.
anything like that. And they had grandma, too. So she was going to get her own room because it was going to be, like, off the kitchen.
Yeah.
Her grandma got that because her grandma's place wasn't ready. So she slept on a sofa. So forget about her bedroom.
Yeah.
She would pull, you know, stuff. Sometimes she's like, I never had my own room. Sometimes I slept on a lazy boy. You know,
yeah.
It was just where you fell.
There was a girl that I dated in college who also had seven kids in her family, and she said to me once, just out of nowhere, there was nothing that prompted this. I can't remember where we were, but it was like so out of character. She just goes, what's it like to be in the bathroom by yourself? And I go, what?
Uh-huh.
And she goes, I don't remember a time where I've ever just been able to take a shower or a bath or use the bathroom.
I don't remember right
where
now.
Where somebody's, isn't that crazy?
That didn't happen to you with the babies, with the kids?
No.
Oh,
no.
I haven't gone to the bathroom by myself. If they're in the house, I haven't gone to the bathroom by myself in 10 years.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And sometimes I try to hide in the bathroom to have a conversation with my husband or just be by myself and lock. Like they're coming for me.
Right.
And it's so loud. And we live in a condo building.
No.
Like, I better open because these two are really verbal.
Right. Everybody
and they're going to start screaming, like, why are you neglecting us? Or something like that.
That's not good.
I just want
to. That's not good. You just need to be what you're in there for. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Oh, there's breaks here?
Use the bathroom. Yeah, we got breaks. There's
Can
a bathroom.
Can I be alone in there?
Go spend some time there by yourself in the bathroom. And then
that's where my husband hides. They don't
He's
go
in there
for
now.
Him.
I saw your husband in there.
I don't doubt it.
All right, Judy will be in and give you the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill Leff and Anna Balaval in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you, Judy. I have a stupid question. Are you in the mood for a stupid question?
Because
I've got one.
Are there?
All I have is stupid questions.
There are no stupid
what
questions.
What other kind of question do you usually have?
No, I usually have stupid questions. And this, I'll keep my streak alive, my Cal Ripken-like streak alive. What is the message that you hope to convey when riding in on a horse to vote for yourself for public office? What exactly are you trying to say to people when you do that?
Yeah, I don't know because it's Alabama. Maybe it was Montana or Wyoming.
But isn't it a tradition?
Is it?
In Alabama?
To ride in on a horse to vote for yourself for public office? I don't know
you
if
know,
it is.
I would think in one of those more western states.
Okay, okay.
But
right.
I don't know about Alabama. Yeah. It says to me...
Right.
It doesn't say horseback riding.
No, mm-hmm. no.
You ride in on a chewing tobacco truck in Alabama.
More,
I would think that would be more appropriate.
You rush in and say Roll Tide. I don't know,
right.
but yeah, horse?
By the way, Jasmine, our producer, is from that region and has shaken her head so much in the last
couple
of days.
Jasmine, is the horse a tradition?
Is that something you're used to, Jazz?
It is not a tradition.
No.
No, but I'm from here, born and raised in Chicago, but I lived in Birmingham and Huntsville, Alabama for 5 years.
You know the area a little
so
bit
I
then.
I know the area.
Yeah. And is it, do people, when wanting to prove a point of any kind in Alabama, do they go... saddle up the horse. I got to prove my point right now.
No, but however, when I went to school in Mississippi, there was a guy who had a horse. It was behind my apartment. They had like a whole little stable thing.
Yeah.
And they used to ride it like across the highway. Not ride it, but you know what I'm saying? Like go to the grocery store and you would see Walmart bags.
Yeah.
Like that.
Nice.
Of their horse, like in the stash.
That's nice.
That was his divvy bike.
Right. I think it's awesome, but it's... You know, for Roy Moore to have rode in on a horse, I don't know what that's supposed to signify.
I think it's like moving even more backwards. Like, oh, you hate cars now?
Yeah.
You are right, that right. conservative that you hate cars.
I got a pony.
Right. That's what
I don't
mean.
Need no industrial revolution.
So... So it's all part of the fun.
Yeah.
It's
Detroit.
All part of the show, right?
Backwards
I'll show them.
Backwards is maybe the way he's been running his campaign. Some would say.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
on purpose.
Yes.
On purpose.
Right. No. Because
yeah.
it resonates.
The least amount of information is the best amount of information, apparently.
It really is a dark day for diplomacy when you see a guy like this, a would-be child molester. I'll still go with would-be, even though there's plenty of evidence. Let's just go with alleged or would-be child molester.
He's only been accused,
running
not
for,
convicted.
Right.
Allegedly.
I'll keep saying allegedly as many times
okay.
as I have to.
Well done.
But for this guy to even run, even have the audacity to run, and he will probably win. It'd be very shocking for him to win. Right, to not win,
I think the latest poll showed his opponent, Jones.
Yeah. Catching up or not catching up?
I think there was a Fox poll that showed yesterday him had 10 points.
Oh, I hope that's
really?
True.
Now, it's funny. When I heard that, I thought, is that to get people to go out and vote for Roy Moore?
Oh, yeah. You never. Now we don't believe
now
anything.
We're so jaded exactly.
That we don't believe anything.
Well, there were so many polls that showed Hillary Clinton beating Donald Trump easily.
Yeah.
Right? That I think a lot of people went, why bother?
Right.
If it's that simple. Yeah. Let's play a little bit of the comments of Roy Moore's wife. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I've said to myself, not so much on air. Yeah, I've said to myself, or sometimes I even call myself Bill. If I'm in a mood, I will say Bill.
If you're really liking yourself.
Right. What sort of a woman marries Roy Moore to begin with and then stays married to him throughout this? And that woman would be Kayla Moore. So yesterday, she addressed a crowd, letting them know exactly what's what with her husband, Roy Moore. And boy, was it fun to listen to. This is Kayla Moore yesterday as she was speaking at a campaign rally in Midland City. Listen to these comments. Now, we will stop them from time to time because they need to be stopped from time to time. But listen to Kayla Moore from last night.
So let me tell you who he really is. Fake news says he doesn't like women in leadership positions, yet he supports me as the president of the Foundation for Moral Law that he started 15 years ago today. So happy birthday, Foundation for Moral Law.
Let's just look at the irony there, shall we? The Foundation for Moral Law being applauded by Roy Moore and his family there. Does moral
what
mean
what I want to know is, does she have the checkbook in the house? Would say maybe that's a respect woman.
But does
she
moral
make the decisions, the big ones?
Oh, maybe.
Is his first wife, only wife?
This
Do
is his, I believe, second wife.
Maybe, yeah.
And she was still married to somebody when they started a relationship. Right? That's been talked
because
about a little bit.
Because then there were no moral laws.
Moral means what I think it means, right?
Yes, right.
It does.
Morality,
Yeah, all right. Please continue, Jess.
Our chairman is also a woman and a prominent office holder in the bank, not to mention all of the women that work in our campaign. And there are many.
But these are women of proper age. The stories about Mr. Moore have been that he sometimes take a liking to women who are just slightly below that line. The women
His wife looks quite a bit younger than him.
She is. She's about 12 or 13 years younger than him. But that's progress for him. He was going for women.
I don't know how long have they been married.
Considerably younger. How old was the horse he rode in on? Does anyone know that?
It wasn't a pony.
We need to find that out. All right,
Jay. It wasn't a pony age.
Fake news would also have you think that my husband doesn't support the black community. Yet my husband appointed the very first black marshal to the Alabama Supreme Court.
Now here's where it starts getting really good.
Mr. Willie James. When he first took office as Chief Justice many years ago, he brought with him three people from Etowah County. Two were black, and one of them is here tonight.
People don't know how... We can stab it there. People don't know how to react to that. Look, there's a black guy there. Let's just applaud because he knows a black guy, which is what Donald Trump also did. Remember, where's my black guy? He found somebody in the audience.
There he is.
There's my black guy right there.
There's my black. He actually said those words.
Oh, yeah. Stop! Yeah. Please stop.
So this is an unprecedented. We've seen this sort of thing before. But wait, it gets better.
We have many friends that are black, and we also fellowship with them in church and in our home.
I always find that when people have to point out to you that they have friends who are black, mm-hmm. or they have friends who are Jewish or Hispanic or Asian or whatever, I don't understand what they're going for. And if you have them, you don't need to go, no, right. I can say that. Look,
I'm just making a statement, too. Yes, I have black friends. I know black people. I fellowship with them.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I I was trying to figure that out also.
That's almost an odd word instead of, you know, we have friends, we know, but you know.
Yeah. So what are they going, when she says that, is that like a Bible study?
Think,
what is that?
Yeah, I think they're in the same room, right? Yeah. They go to the same church.
Missions and all that.
Yeah.
All
right. I don't think they, I don't know that they actually talk.
Fellowship. Right. So it means you're in a group with them.
Yeah. We do the same things differently.
Yeah. All right.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. One of our attorneys is a Jew.
All right, Jess, can you stop it right there? And I'm not even going to say anything. I just want people to think up their own thoughts here. Our attorney is a Jew.
So there.
Take that. At that point, the horse was applauding.
Take that and ride that off on your horse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
2017.
Yeah. Yeah. And that even gets, people are like, oh, they found a Jewish lawyer. How about that? People are applauding for that. Oh, how about that?
And the insensitivity of the wording of everything.
Of everything.
Like, have you not read anything else but your Bible?
I know.
And interpret it the way you want it to interpret it. I mean, I have a huge problem because I wear my diversity on my face. I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
I'm married to a Jewish guy. My kids are mixed.
Is he a lawyer?
No.
You should have been at the Roy Moore rally yesterday because you would have been applauded for six different times.
So, you know, like I moved to Chicago to work at a Spanish station. And I have enjoyed diversity and the beauty of it in the United States of America, in Chicago. And I'm living in the United States in this atmosphere, which tells me that I've been living alive for 22 years because of where we're going now.
Did you by any chance see last night on Stephen Colbert, he had Rahm Emanuel on as a guest. Did you see any of this by any chance?
I saw probably clips that Dean ran.
All right. So he was, Mayor Emanuel was touting the city as he often does and was talking about the number of languages that are spoken in Chicago schools. And it's a very impressive number. And you just say to yourself, and I know his goal was to sell the city, to go on and talk about how great Chicago is. But I'm proud of the city anyway. But when you point something like that out, because he was talking about Chicago as a Trump-free zone, and Colbert was calling him out on it, and he goes, well, that's the president. And he goes, no, I mean it. I don't want him sleeping overnight in our city. We're doing our best to prevent that from happening. Right. Right.
At Midway.
Right. Land, wave at people,
connect,
fly away, go somewhere else.
Oh, my gosh.
But it made me so proud to think I live in the city where over 100 different languages are spoken. That many people have come together to work alongside, to learn alongside of each other. That's a proud moment for me. You know,
when you're trying to raise kids to be proud of their biculturalism and their parents and coming together and their understanding.
Yep.
And, you know, I even get mad when my friends are like, well, how are you going to raise them? No, you got to pick one. Well, you know what? No, I don't. It's worked so far. And I've been with him for 18 years and my daughter's 10 years old.
Yep.
And, you know, my daughter, because she's in CPS, she has friends from all walks of life and all denominations and all colors. And she has found diversity and has embraced it. And she thinks it's wonderful. You know, she tells people she's Puerto Rican. She's offended when I tell her she's just half Puerto Rican.
Right.
So, you know, she's like, why would you call me that? And, you know, I also think it's divisive, right? When we're all here from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you ask my husband and he's an American. He's not necessarily a Jewish guy, right?
Yeah.
He's an American from Chicago.
Yeah.
And my mom, when she came to college years, is like, why do they have to attach a label all the time?
Yeah, and that's it. Why?
And
everyone just, who cares?
Who cares?
Do you know, I grew up in Chicago. I did not know one Jewish person.
Didn't you?
Nope.
Where in Chicago?
Bucktown.
In Bucktown, yeah.
Bucktown. It was very Catholic. It was very Polish Catholic. I mean, I then moved to the suburbs, and then I knew a lot of Jewish people.
It might be the opposite. You would think that it's possible that you grew up in a suburb where you weren't exposed, but then when you moved to the city,
you
would.
The city in the 70s? Yeah. No, it wasn't that
integrated. Maybe not Bucktown so much.
No, I was going to tell you.
Not
in another neighborhood.
The next neighborhood over was Roberto Clemente. That was all Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
It was very segregated.
Yeah.
It was. But my point being, I feel like it's a matter of it's in your mind.
Right.
I didn't know any Jewish people, but I love, you know, I don't even think about it. Yeah. I know Jewish people. I have Jewish friends. I don't say.
You don't single them out at rallies?
I have a Jewish friend. Yeah. I don't say that because it's just so
funny. But some
to me.
People do, Judy.
And that's where
in Chicago, I've had friends that have told my husband, oh, you're my other Jewish friend.
Yes. And that's where it has to start. It's not, you don't get rid of everything and it's just, who cares?
Yeah. But when I married him, is she marrying you for your papers? What?
Oh, no, really?
Oh, no, yeah. And
Did you have to explain that you were...
That I'm a U.S. citizen, yeah. And that was 16 years ago. Nowadays, wow. I get, go back to your country.
Who said that to you? Who has said that?
Speak American on Facebook.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Speak American?
Speak American.
What
because,
is that exactly?
Because I'll do bilingual posts.
No, but I mean, that term, speak American.
You might want to go with speak English. If,
right.
if you have to send
to
a derogatory slam.
They can't say that because she does speak English.
Right. But it's daunting to me. It's like, oh my goodness.
I hate hearing that.
It's heartbreaking because
it's
not
heartbreaking.
How...
And is that how you want... I don't want my kids growing up like that.
No.
In that kind of a world.
Yesterday, you were not here yet, but Harry Tynowitz was filling in for Wendy yesterday. And off air, we had a conversation about how there was a time when we were kids that if somebody brought home a friend of an extreme ethnicity, it was talked about. Like my daughters would never, if they were bringing a friend home, they'd never say, hey, I'm bringing an Asian girl home. Hey, I'm bringing a black guy home. They don't even see that. They don't even think that way. But one generation ago, that was the thing.
We
had neighbors who had friends that were African American, and it was talked about for months. Remember the time that the black couple came over to the house? What?
My mom
That's
was
amazing.
Like, what do Steve's parents say when you found they found out you were Puerto Rican? I'm like, they're from Chicago.
Yeah. Right.
They work with Puerto Ricans.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. What do they think? Because my parents are almost 80 back then.
Yeah.
They were like, is this
the
same?
Deal.
You know,
that was okay.
Guess who's coming to dinner, my mom would always say.
We've evolved from then.
Yeah.
That was my parents' generation, too.
But I keep
too.
Thinking, yeah. Judy, that we've evolved. And then stuff like this happens. And
now,
I go, wait, maybe we have not evolved.
Yeah, so all the progress we've made, I feel like, it's how quickly it's going. It took us so long. And now, boom.
Yeah.
It's almost like, because I feel like it's with who people are.
Right.
You know, they want to be like that. They want to be racist. You know what I mean? Or I don't know if they want to be racist, but it's easier or something. They want to fall back on that.
So like, why did that happen? What happened?
I wish I knew.
And it's fear of the unknown. It's absolute fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
I'm always saying, wait till the Indian doctor saves their lives.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? No, you can't do open heart surgery because you're brown.
Right.
Really? No, you're going to let them do surgery on you.
Yeah.
And that's when it's like, oh.
I know.
You know, when you get exposed to that, when you get that one Mexican guy dating your daughter,
right?
And he's awesome.
Yeah.
And
you change your mind.
You know, he's like, I always told my dad, do you want a nice Catholic guy that beats me, or is the Jewish guy who's wonderful okay?
Yeah.
And of course, it's just that's the whole idea. It's
right.
The fear of the unknown. They're not exposed to it, and we in this country always need an enemy.
Yeah, I
so
think
we
you're
can
right.
rally around. You know, it was the Russians at one point? Maybe now again. You know, it's we move them from ethnicity to ethnicity, and it happens with the immigrants all the time.
Yeah.
It's because you can say that, and there are facts that point out that immigrants are not the largest group of criminals in this country. You know how they were saying undocumented immigrants were the largest group of criminals in this country? They're not. But if you feed people that line over and so-and-so is speaking a language you don't understand next to you on the bus, and you immediately think they're talking about you, that guy can hold me. I mean, it's that whole thing.
Yeah.
And
it is fear. It's fear. And and that's such a good point. I have so many friends who don't even know a black person.
Yeah.
Like, they might in passing, but they don't have a black friend.
That's amazing.
And that is a problem.
Yeah.
Because then you harbor these ridiculous notions from the past, and because you just don't know any better.
My husband went to Iowa for college. His roommate had never met a Jewish guy and asked him if he had horns.
Oh, my.
Because that's what they had told him.
What is that?
And my husband's
Iowa?
50.
Was that the University of Iowa?
Because
that's where my son goes now.
And then
I'll ask him if that's still going on.
No, hopefully not. But to your point, my
you
cousins
mean horns like the devil
like there
has,
were
not,
horns
not
somewhere.
The musical instrument.
And then my cousins who grew up in Boca,
yeah,
they didn't know any African American people. And they both came to study in the Midwest.
Yeah, right.
And when they live in Chicago, that's when they've been exposed to it. But they haven't been freaked out. They, you know, they just embrace it. The hell with it. Because they were raised that way.
Don't you think for most people, once they are, once you're forced to either live or work or play or something with people of other cultures, you go, wow, there's a lot more commonality than there is differences.
That's what I'm telling you, the doctor that's going to save your life and is from India.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they say, oh, well, I was kind of dumb or, you know, very dumb back there to think that.
Right.
Right, that's what I hope for.
Because it is. It's just ignorance and just the unknown. You're right. And once you know, you're like, oh, okay.
So didn't you think when Barack Obama was elected president, didn't you go, okay, now we've all turned a corner where the days of looking at people and just deciding because of their skin, because of their religion, those days are over now.
Right.
A whole country decided to elect a guy who's of mixed race.
My kids who were younger and the University of Iowa son, who now, he was still in high school.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They couldn't have been more excited about Barack. And it was more about because he was a young, kind of cool guy.
Yeah.
They didn't even care that I don't even know that they realized he was black.
Right.
That is how I was. That gave me so much hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now,
how
many years later?
So why?
What happened?
That's the question. Is why did we take a step forward and then a giant step backward? What?
People were so galvanized.
I don't know, because I think the racists are more.
Do you?
I always say the racists have bigger mouths. They scream
more vocal.
Louder. Yes, it's always like that. Not even racist. The smaller, the minority always screams louder.
Yeah.
And the majority, for some reason, sits back.
My wife told me a story.
They don't get out there as much.
Last week, my wife told me a story. A friend of hers is in a biracial marriage, and the kids are of mixed race. And throughout their whole lives, they've gone to school, and it's not been an issue. They're in a school with black kids and white kids and kids who are everything. And now, in the last year, every couple of days, somebody says something because they don't look white, they don't look black, they look like they're mixed race, so somebody says something negative.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, how does this happen? You get two kids who have gone years and years and years without a single comment, and now a couple of times a week they come home sad.
Well, because people will tell you the president has empowered those people to say what they want.
I see, that's an argument that I keep hearing is that everybody who kept their racism kind of under the cover, or under the sheet, I guess is actually more accurate here, all of a sudden, that's been lifted. You don't have to be embarrassed to be.
And then you say, well, why are you guys so sensitive?
Yeah.
I can speak my mind.
Yeah.
I have some decency. I have some morals.
Right.
I have a moral foundation.
Have some kindness.
Wouldn't
some
that
kindness.
Be nice?
You want me to speak? And you know what? Everyone's an immigrant. Everyone.
I know.
You know, when people say that's me, and I'm like, well, let's go to your story then, dude.
I know.
Were your parents born here? I mean, really? How would you like to be called something? You know, just because you're white.
Right.
I mean, you could be Polish, Russian. It could be anything.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah, and Irish. And I mean, there are names that you don't really want to hear. You want your kids to be called that? I mean, it's unbelievable to me. It's back to this white supremacy thing. That's really, I think, what it's turned into. And it is a minority. I don't care what anyone says. We are in the majority.
I hope so.
We have to change it again.
Yeah.
It takes a little work, but you got to constantly. I think we talked about this a few months ago. I now, because I'm old, and I'm an old lady, I don't stay silent anymore. People say something that's inappropriate. I call them. Before, I was that person, too. Well, I don't know that person.
Right.
Oh, I
you
don't
just
care
power
anymore.
Away.
No.
Yeah.
My mom says that you lose your inhibition. You don't care anymore. You just throw it out there.
Right. But that's the thing. The older people are the ones, really, who are saying what they want, I think. And I'm also the one now to call them on it. You know, you got to constantly do it. It's work. It really is work.
Yeah.
And if you're not confrontational, which I'm not, it's very hard.
But let me tell you, I try not to be confrontational. I am nice, but I just be like, no, you can't say that. No, no. Just the other day, someone said retard. And I said, yeah, we don't say that word anymore.
Was it Eminem who just got in trouble because he's got an album where there's either a song or one of the titles of the song has that word in it?
Retard?
And there was a time where people would have gone, oh, okay. But now those days are gone.
And I mean, it is a word if, you know, you could say like this blanket will retard the fire.
The true derivation of the word.
But you can't use that.
You can't say it.
And I tell friends that have used it, you have to be careful. You don't know who you're around.
Right.
A parent of someone with a disability or a special need does not look different.
And so I am. And that person who said it knows it. And they weren't even being malicious.
Yeah.
I just said, you can't say that. I know, you can't say that word anymore.
It's
it probably really suited you, but no.
I love the friends that are like, well, you know, I was raised in the South Side. Oh. Yeah, but now you're 54.
Exactly.
So, and we've moved on.
And you can say it nicely and laugh about it. Right. Yeah.
But right. No, seriously, it's shocking to me. But my husband told me while Barack Obama was president, says this, we're going to go backwards. Not because, and he wasn't saying it like it's a good thing. He was saying like, watch out.
Right.
All the attacks towards him are coming out of racism, and this is what's going to happen.
How about that? He was right. Turned out he was right. Judy, thanks for hanging around.
Yeah, Judy, this was fun.
Yes.
Anna, don't go yet. We have to say an official goodbye to you in just a little bit.
But
Judy, I'll see you tomorrow. We'll take a quick break and then close it all off. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN. Well, that's it for the Tuesday version of our show.
But I can stay till 2.
I know you can stay till 2. We can. We can't legally do another.
Okay, no,
I wish we could.
I'll walk around the building.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
As long as we're here.
It's a beautiful building.
I know.
Stunning building. I want to thank you, Anna Balaval, for doing a fantastic job of filling in for Wendy.
Thank you. It's
always
a pleasure to be with
you. We'll do this again. Tomorrow, another super surprise mystery guest sitting in. Bruce Springsteen will be my co-host from the music.
Not that Bruce Springsteen, the one from Arlington Heights.
Yeah, Arlington Heights is on. Bruce Springsteen will be here.
I'll be at the CSO tomorrow morning.
Are you doing the CSO?
Yes, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and we will have live performances of their Christmas show. You know, they changed it a couple years ago.
Yes.
I love being live from there.
That's going to be a fun outing.
It's beautiful.
People can watch that on their TVs, on the WGN TV News.
Right, that box. Yeah,
that'll be fun.
Or they can stream it live.
You have two options. Something for everybody.
Mm.
Thank you, Anna, for being here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.